The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from The Wall Street Journal, Kiplinger Personal Finance, and AAA Magazine. First up, from The Wall Street Journal, cheaper gasoline buoys consumers. When gasoline prices shot upward earlier this year, Mark Adams tapped the brakes on his hobby of exploring ghost towns and other historic sites across Oregon and sharing the imagery on YouTube. Now, he is back. A medical device technician by day, Mr. Adams bought a more fuel-efficient car and has since watched his weekly gas bill fall from as high as $75 to about $30. It is enough of a difference that the 57-year-old has begun charting out which abandoned structures he's going to visit next. It doesn't pay for itself when you're just a YouTuber, Mr. Adams said of his pastime. Many motorists like Mr. Adams are finally getting some relief at the pump, signaling that some of the recent pressures on the gasoline market are easing. The U.S. average for regular unleaded gasoline has declined to $3.29 a gallon, falling below its average of $3.36 from last year, according to GasBuddy data. That is down about 35% from its peak of about $5 earlier in the year, when the war in Ukraine disrupted supplies and boosted prices for raw materials from copper to corn to diesel. The decline in gas prices is good news for consumers, whose wallets have been pinched this year by higher prices for nearly everything, from milk to bread to eggs. Higher gas prices have been the biggest contributor to multi-decade highs in inflation, which have propelled the Federal Reserve to aggressively raise interest rates, battering stocks and bonds alike. The decline extends a wild year for gas prices, which soared to records in the summer, upending motorist travel plans. Now, some analysts expect them to fall below $3 by the end of the year. Gas prices can vary regionally because of taxes and distance from refineries. But all 50 states have seen monthly drops, with the slide led by Wisconsin, Indiana, and California. Prices for diesel used in trucking and manufacturing have fallen in about 48 of 50 states, led by Oklahoma, South Dakota, and Kansas. The national average for diesel Thursday fell below $5 a gallon after hitting record highs earlier this year. Most Americans are going to start to feel the gas prices are no longer a thorn in their side, said Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy. He expects diesel prices will fall below $4 a gallon in the next few months. The cost of gasoline climbed after the global flow of crude oil was disrupted by economic fallout from Russia's invasion into Ukraine. Higher gas prices heightened political tensions during the midterm elections and contributed to President Biden authorizing the release of 180 million barrels of oil from the country's Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The global benchmark for crude prices has since plummeted from about 40% from its war-driven 2022 high. Russian oil has kept flowing into the market, and stringent lockdowns in China, the world's biggest consumer of commodities, has hurt demand. The U.S. crude futures contract lost 0.8% Thursday to settle at $71.46 a barrel. Brent crude slid 1.3% to $76.15. Energy stocks have surged despite a tepid performance by other companies. The S&P 500 energy sector is the only one of the index's major groups in the green, up more than 50% so far this year. Shares of energy giant ExxonMobil Corp. have added about 70%. Chevron Corps have gained 48%, and Marathon Petroleum Corps have jumped 70%. Oil traders don't expect Western sanctions on Russian crude, which took effect Monday, to push prices meaningfully upward by taking supplies off the market. Analysts also worry that demand from China remains soft despite a gradual move to reopen its economy. To be sure, investors hope China's eventual reopening, coupled with a flat production outlook among many oil producers, could boost gas prices and energy stocks next year. You're going to need to refill oil inventories in the U.S. and China, and supply is not going to be that substantial, said Rob Thermal, portfolio manager at Tortoise, an energy asset manager. Mr. Thermal said that along with the ability to return cash to shareholders could lead to extended energy stocks gains next year. From Kiplinger Personal Finance, why you need renter's insurance. This coverage is surprisingly affordable, and it can save you a lot of money if you need to make a claim. Most homeowners know that they need homeowners insurance to cover loss or damage to their property. And if you have a mortgage, you usually have no choice. But if you're one of the more than 100 million Americans who rent a home or apartment, don't overlook the value of renter's insurance. Some landlords require tenants to have renter's insurance, but even if that's not the case, a policy could go a long way towards protecting your property and personal finances. If there's damage to your rental from fire or break-in, your landlord is responsible for repairs to the property you're renting, but isn't responsible for fixing or replacing your personal possessions. That's where renter's insurance comes in. Policies typically cover up to a limited dollar amount for clothing, furniture, and electronics. Particularly valuable items, such as jewelry, artwork, and collectibles, may require that you get additional coverage, known as a rider or a floater. When shopping for a policy, be sure to tally up the value of your belongings as accurately as possible and determine whether the policy limits are adequate. Consider also whether it might make sense to store valuable items, such as family heirlooms, rarely worn jewelry, or artwork, at a safe location elsewhere, such as a safe deposit box or a secure storage facility. Keep a list of your valued items with purchase and valuation records in a secure location as well. Renter's insurance may also cover the belongings of your roommate or significant other, as long as their name is on the policy. But many insurance companies will require roommates to have separate policies rather than one for their combined property. Theft by a roommate is generally not covered by renter's insurance, so choose roommates wisely. Renter's insurance generally won't cover damage to your personal property from natural disasters, such as hurricanes or earthquakes, says Janet Ruiz, spokeswoman for the Insurance Information Institute. For that, you will need to purchase special coverage. Other protections. Renter's insurance will cover liability up to a certain limit if guests in your rental injure themselves and it's found to be your fault. For instance, if your pet bites someone, your policy could cover medical expenses. And if you were put out of your rental because of damaged or otherwise uninhabitable, a policy will typically cover the cost of lodging elsewhere up to a certain amount. Although renter's insurance could save you a lot of money, it doesn't require a big investment. It's one of the most affordable products you can get, often as low as $300 a year, Ruiz says. And unlike homeowner's insurance, which can cost as much as three times the national average in some regions, such as Florida, renter's insurance is usually inexpensive no matter where you live. Still, there are a number of strategies to cut the cost of renter's insurance. You may be able to get a discount by buying a policy from the same company that insures your automobile, for example. You may also get a discount if you take steps to make your rental property safer from break-ins, such as installing a security camera, says Dustin Limick, an industry expert and founder of Brightco, a jewelry insurance company. But it's most important to shop around. You can compare coverage and cost of various renters' insurance policies at sites such as thezebra.com and gabby.com. And keep an eye on changing premiums. Insurance companies are notorious for raising rates and policyholders don't even know it, Limick says. Put a note in your calendar every 8 to 10 months to review your policy and make sure your premiums haven't gone up. Also from Kiplinger Personal Finance, plan your holiday tipping strategy. Tipping is a way to thank people who have provided a service all year. But how much and who? American practice. But we tip more often and in larger amounts than just about any other country. The practice is so established that many workers' wages are based on the anticipation of tips. Holiday tipping is a bit different. It's a way to thank the people who work in your home during the year, says Lizzie Post, great-great-granddaughter of Emily Post and author of Emily Post Etiquette, the Centennial Edition. The list includes house cleaners, babysitters, carpenters, and landscapers, she says. But there are also many others as well. For example, your regular grocery delivery person, if you have one, your hairstylist or barber, and your trash collector, gardener, and newspaper delivery person are all people to tip during the holidays. A cash gift is typically the best way to give a holiday tip, but it's not always allowed. Postal workers aren't permitted to accept cash, and it's a good idea to give cash to your child's teacher. Consider asking the teacher to suggest a helpful year-end gift instead. Classroom supplies, for example, could make a good gift because many teachers have to pay for them out of their pocket. Mail carriers are allowed to accept gifts that are worth no more than $20, such as travel mugs or hand warmers. How much to give? Think about all your regular service providers when allocating funds for holiday tipping. And with inflation at record highs, consider tipping a little extra to give a proper thank you. For a newspaper delivery person, a grocery delivery person, or trash and recycling collector, set aside a tip of $10 to $30. For a dog walker, a child care provider, or a personal caregiver, you'll want to tip at least a week's pay. To show appreciation for other personal service providers, such as dog groomers, hairstylists, or a regular manicurist, tip up to the cost of one appointment. A holiday tip equal to the cost of one session is also suitable for a personal trainer or a regular personal massage therapist, if you have one. To tip a nursing home worker, check the company's policy. If the facility offers around-the-clock care, be sure to cover every shift. For service providers who often work in groups, such as landscapers, gardeners, carpenters, or cleaning people, a tip of $20 to $50 per person would be appropriate around the holidays. But if you have just one person who comes regularly as a landscaper, gardener, cleaner, or carpenter, the cost of one session or 1 week's work is again an acceptable holiday tip. If you're living on a tighter budget this year and can't afford a tip as much as you'd like or at all, express your gratitude with a handwritten note, says Post. On the flip side, if you're unable to tip someone previously because of a budget constraint, it's never too late to express your appreciation by mailing them a tip or including it with this year's gratuity along with a note. Special occasions. If you travel during the holidays, keep in mind that there are also a number of situations in which tipping is expected. You should tip anytime a bellhop, doorman, or taxi driver carries your bag. Taxi drivers should also receive a 15% to 20% tip on the fare. If you're receiving daily housekeeping services at a hotel, you should leave anywhere from $2 to $5 a day, depending on how many people are staying in the room and the extent of the cleanup, Post says. For restaurant meals, it's customary to leave a tip of 15% to 20% of the bill. Even if you disapprove of the service, you should never skip the tip when dining in a restaurant. Instead, let the manager know the service was subpar. She says, it's really important to use your words, not money, to speak for you. And also from Kipling, Your Personal Finance, an article entitled New Year's Resolution, Pay Down Your Credit Card Debt. Higher interest rates make carrying a balance more expensive. Credit card balances rose 13% to $887 billion in the second quarter of 2022. That's the fastest increase in 20 years, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Meanwhile, the personal savings rate, which spiked during the recession, fell to 3.3% in the third quarter, the lowest level since the Great Recession. Carrying a balance has always been costly, but it's particularly expensive now. The average credit card interest rate in November was 19.04%, the highest rate since 1992. As the Federal Reserve Board continues to raise short-term interest rates in an effort to throttle inflation, average rates could rise even higher, says Ted Rossman, credit card analyst for Bankrate.com, which tracks interest rates for consumer loans. Getting out of debt. It is not unusual for consumers who are struggling to pay their bills to pay the minimum payment on their credit cards. But over time, paying the minimum on your cards will add thousands of dollars to the amount you owe. The average amount owed by cardholders who are carrying a balance is $6,569, according to an analysis by LendingTree, an online loan marketplace. If you are carrying a balance of that amount, your interest rate is 18% and you pay only the minimum of $165 each month, it will take you 5 years to retire the debt, and your total payments will top $10,000. Debt management. If you have good to excellent credit, one option is to apply for a balance transfer card with a 0% introductory rate. Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Citibank are offering balance transfer cards with a 0% rate for up to 21 months, Rossman says. Most charge a transfer fee of 3% to 5% of the balance. Once the introductory period ends, the interest rate will rise to the card's regular rate, which could be even higher than the rate you were paying before the balance transfer. Ideally, you should try to pay off most or all of the balance before that happens. Divide the amount you owe by the number of months in the balance transfer period to get an idea of how much you should try to pay down each month. Resist the temptation to add to your credit card debt, even if you get offers for 0% interest on new purchases, Rossman says. If you're a homeowner, another option is to use a home equity line of credit to pay off your credit cards. The average rate for a home equity line of credit is 7.3% according to Bankrate.com, and you usually have up to 20 years to pay off the loan. But before you borrow against your home, make sure you can afford to make the payments if the economy goes south, says credit expert Jerry Detweiler. If you fall behind on your payments, you're putting your house at risk. And from Kiplinger Personal Finance, how to get the raise you deserve. This is an article written by Janet Bodner under the category of Money Smart Women. In my last Money Smart Women column in November, I interviewed Stacy Francis, founder of Savvy Ladies, which educates women on how to take control of their finances. Francis said that one of the easiest ways for women to increase their income is to ask for a raise. But she added, that's also the most neglected because women don't ask. Research shows that women are more reluctant than men to ask for a raise, and they feel less comfortable negotiating. Women have been socialized not to ask, and they're especially sensitive to asking for too much, says Sharon Melnick, an executive coach for women leaders. It seems like self-promotion, Melnick thinks, those attitudes might be changing, especially after the pandemic. I'm hearing more women say that compensation really matters to them, she says. If you're shy about speaking up, start by getting into the right mindset, and then sharpen your negotiating skills, advises Kelly Joyce, a career and business coach and founder of The Truth at Work. Build up your negotiating muscle around non-threatening situations, says Joyce. It's unrealistic to march into your boss's office and ask for more money if you hesitate to send back a cold meal at a restaurant or you defer to your spouse about which movie to watch. If self-promotion makes you uncomfortable, think about how others will benefit if you are successful. Instead of asking for yourself, ask on behalf of your family, says Melnick. Tips on negotiating. Get your ducks in a row. At a minimum, you should have some idea of the market rate for your position, as well as how your employer stacks up. It's key to know what's realistically possible within your company, says Carol Frothlinger, president of Negotiating Women in Athens, Georgia. And it's critical to quantify your value to your employer as much as possible. If you're in sales, the numbers can speak for themselves. If you're in research or a support role, know how you were able to contribute to the sales team, finish a product quickly, reduce cost, or are willing to take on more responsibility. Joyce advises that you also take a close look at your own budget. If you have an $85,000 lifestyle and you're making $80,000, it will light a fire to ask for $7,000 more, she says. Make your pitch perfect by role-playing with your spouse, partner, or a friend. You'll feel a lot more comfortable if you get the words out of your mouth and not just keep them in your head, says Frothlinger. She suggests keeping a file of positive feedback that you can present to your manager to bolster your case. Don't feel you need to apologize or tell your boss that you need more money because your rent is going up. You are making the case that you should be fairly compensated for your value to the company, so focus on that. Even if you're working at home or have a hybrid situation, make it a point to show up at the office. Remember, out of sight, out of mind. If you can't get more money, have a plan B. more vacation or the opportunity to go to a conference or get more job training. Sometimes you're better off with a title rather than money because you can parlay that into a bigger job somewhere else, says Frothlinger. Answer still no? Take that as not now. And tell your boss you'd like to get together again in a few months to revisit your request. And whatever you agree on, get it in writing. And an article from AAA Magazine, do a year-end money checkup. Before you flip the page on the calendar, here are a few things you can do to improve your financial health. Do a cash-out refinance of your home. The winter holidays can be a time of big spending for many people. If you have enough equity in your home, you can replace your current mortgage with a new one for more than you owe and take the difference in cash. You can then use that cash to pay for holiday gifts, travel, and paying off your credit card debt. This means you'll be borrowing money at a lower interest rate to pay off debt at a higher interest rate. Check on your life, auto, and home insurance policies. Do a yearly check on your major insurance policies and make sure the coverage is still up to date. Do you need to change the beneficiary on your life insurance? Have you made any major renovations to your home? Have you made any changes that would affect your auto insurance, such as going from commuting to an office every day to working from home? Make an extra house payment and car payment at the end of the year. Contribute to your IRA and/or 401k to decrease your tax burden by maximizing those payments. Resolve your flexible spending account through your HR department. And lastly, consider a CD, a high-yield savings account, or a money market account. After you take your minimum distribution and/or receive your tax rebate, consider placing those funds into a certificate of deposit. Well, we have run out of time for today's Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you will listen to us next time. I'm Larry Wilson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.